Good morning. I want to dismiss our elementary age kids, our middle school and high school age kids. We'll stay here with us this morning. Hope you kiddos have a great morning. I see Uncle Stu's teaching today. It's going to be a lot of fun. My name is Joe Ryan, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and grateful to have the opportunity to be with you guys this morning. I've been taught that every speech, message, sermon must start with an intention getter, or what we like to call in the biz, a hook. And, you know, that's something like an interesting story, a pop culture reference that indicates that the speaker knows what's going on in the world, maybe a funny joke or anecdote, something like that. We do this as a way of trying to convince you, our listeners, to get on board and to listen to the message that we have prepared for you. And hopefully, in most cases, the speaker or the preacher will lead you into and through God's word in a thoughtful and compelling way. And I do hope that for the next few minutes where I'm up here before you, I do want to connect you to God's word in a thoughtful manner. But I don't have a hook for you today. An interesting hook just felt trivial for today's message as I was trying to reflect and think about how I might get your attention. You see, the last 2 years have been extremely hard for us. And not just for me, but for all of us, you, me, our families, our country, and the world. We have collectively experienced several different types of hardships that come in different forms. These last 2 years of a pandemic that has radically altered how we live and interact with others. We have experienced serious social and political issues that leads to polarization and often fighting with one another. We have experienced the end of one war, a war that has marked the entirety of my adult life. And now a new war in Eastern Europe brings a whole new level of fear, uncertainty, and anxiety for our future, and especially for the futures who are impacted there in that region. All this and more has left me, and I'm sure many of you, at times feeling tired, sad, frustrated, discouraged, and even angry. The other day I had to confess before my son, I go, I have to stop yelling at people that I'm driving near at the intersection trying to get onto Riverside Drive. It's like, where is this kind of anger coming from? And this leads to minds and hearts that feel disordered and disoriented. And don't get me wrong, there is still plenty of good things in our lives to celebrate, but it just seems like there are a lot of obstacles, a lot of impediments to us experiencing joy and peace. That joy and peace is still there, but it seems to get veiled by all these things and others that I just mentioned. So I guess you have just experienced the worst hook in the history of preaching. But it is a window into my life and the condition of my heart and the spirit and my heart and spirit at this moment. But maybe there are some here this morning who can relate in one way or the other. I share all of this with you because there is a temptation to allow our discouragement to lead us into a place of despair, desperation, and even defeat. And I believe it is these points when we are most vulnerable to the destructive thoughts and behaviors as a way to attempt to cope with these difficult feelings and life circumstances. And that is why we need the hope of God's word spoken over us within a community of friendship, within the context of worship, as we are doing and experiencing right now with one another. It is during the most difficult seasons of life when we need to gather around the hope and truth that we find in God's word, as so many followers of Jesus have done throughout history. So I want to invite you to let these words I will soon read, these words of hope and instruction for our lives, to wash over you from the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. And just a brief context, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples after his death and resurrection. And this is one of his last interactions with his 12 disciples. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I chose this passage weeks ago, originally because of the theme of being sent. We plan out our sermon series well in advance, and so this was my topic, this idea of being sent. And I still do want to engage this theme today, because we often question and want to know the purpose of our lives and where and how God wants to use us. However, in the light of what is happening in the world, the theme of peace seems just as important for us as well. And so I'm grateful that that was already in that passage that I chose weeks ago. And now, after engaging this passage, I now better understand that embracing God's calling upon our lives and allowing God to send us into the world to accomplish his purposes for humanity, this is the ultimate way that we experience God's peace. And in many ways, this is a consistent theme throughout all of Scripture. We see God calling people and sending them. We see Abraham was called and sent out and then became the father of many nations. Moses was called and sent out by a talking bush that was on fire. That's weird. Isaiah was called and then he was sent, and his response was, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Ananias was called and he was sent to Saul, led Saul to Christ, and then Saul became the Apostle Paul, and he was called, and then he was sent out to share the gospel to the entire known world, and now is considered the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Jesus called, and he sent out his 12 disciples, and we too are Jesus' disciples, and Jesus is continuing to call and send us to a world in need of peace. And so a question for you, as we think of calling and we think of sending, what is the difference between the two? And so let me just, in a very simple way, lightly touch on these. When we think of calling, calling is when we embrace Jesus and give our lives to him. And when we do this, Scripture tells us that at that moment, we receive into our lives, into our soul, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we grow in our faith and we open our lives to God's guidance and direction for us, the seeds of a calling are planted deeply within us. And then the Spirit begins to cultivate and grow these passions in our lives in tangible ways. And this is where our passions and our interests that brings us joy intersect with what we see as the world's greatest need. Frederick Buechner expressed it best when he wrote, "Your vocation in life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need." I think that is a description of calling. And sending is directly related but subtly different. You see, with sending, God does not place passions in our lives for our soul benefit. His calling upon our lives is never for our own self-interests alone. No, God calls us and then he sends us where our passions are needed most in the world. And if you want purpose and passion and direction in your life, you must be willing to step out in faith and allow God to send you to the places where your purpose and passions are needed most. And this, I'm afraid to say, is the scary side of faith. Maybe the side of faith that they don't tell you about at the beginning. They just kind of let you figure it out along the way when it's just too late to turn back. But I also think it's the best part of faith when we turn and face into it. And because this part of faith is so scary to us, if you are like me, you are prone to fear, the loss of control, and the insecurity that you are not competent enough or gifted enough to do anything significant on your own. And you want to know something? You aren't competent enough, you aren't gifted enough to do anything significant for the kingdom of God on your own. That's not how we have been designed. And that is why the scripture reminds us that God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into the scary waters of faith and in the direction of the messiness of life in this broken world. So wherever you find yourself this morning and in this current season of life, I want to encourage you to continue seeking peace and to open your lives to God, discerning how God wants to use us and to use you and where God wants to send us, to send you. And I want to offer five very brief suggestions as a possible catalyst for growing in faith, experiencing peace, and discerning God's calling and direction that he is sending us. And the first catalyst is this, is for us to embrace the discipline of confession, to confess your thoughts and feelings in full honesty and transparency before the Lord, possibly a close friend, your spouse, or somebody important to you, but in full transparency and honesty, to confess how you are feeling about life, how you are feeling about your purpose, your calling, where you want God to be leading your life. And if you are in a place where it's difficult to put those thoughts and feelings into words, then I encourage you to engage the Psalms, these wonderful prayers that capture any possible human emotion that you can imagine, and allow the words of the Psalms to become your own words. The next catalyst is that you would spend some time in reflection, and that we can be reflecting on all aspects of life, but a couple of prompts as we discern our calling and discern where God might be sending us. Some questions like these: what do you care most about in life? When you just assess your life, what do I just care most about? And you gotta be honest, because there might be some things you care about that aren't that great or are misprioritized. What brings your life real joy and meaning? Like when you're doing this thing, something comes alive in you. Hopefully that is true in your vocation. If it's not in your vocation, where in your life does joy well up, purpose and passion well up? And what needs do you see that resonate in your heart as you perceive the needs of your family, your neighborhood, your community, your church, the world around you, big or small, however you want to define the world? What needs do you see, and there are a lot, but the needs that you see that resonate deeply in your heart, mind, and soul? And I think a good way of doing this reflection is in the form of brainstorming or getting out your journal and writing writing these thoughts down so that you can have a record of that, so you can look to it and see what God is speaking to you. The third catalyst is this, that you would bend. Bend your life, your emotions, and actions in the direction that brings your life peace and joy. As you spend that time reflecting, you will see some themes. You will see some things that rise to the surface. And maybe you are or maybe you are not engaging those things that bring you joy, bring you peace. And I would encourage you to just start bending your life in minor or major ways back in that direction. Start with something small and just see how that might grow up. The fourth catalyst is this, that you would leverage the current location of your life. Some people are sent to far off places, but your sending always starts wherever you currently are. And might I ask this question, because I think this idea of being sent, we are fearful that it would be such a crazy, abrupt change in our lives that we often close the doors to what that might look like. But might I suggest this? Is it possible that God wants to send you to where you already are? Might God want to send you to where you already are? And I believe he does. And I believe then from that starting point, who knows where your life may go. And it doesn't necessarily mean a physical change. It could. But start with where you are. And lastly, the fifth catalyst is this, and it comes straight from the scripture. Receive. Receive the Holy Spirit and the peace that comes through the Spirit. It is easy for us to understand and think about God the Father, the Lord. We think about Jesus, and we have more fully constructed concepts of God the Father, God the Son. But I don't think we fully understand, or at least I think our understanding of the Holy Spirit is maybe a little bit less from our understanding of the others. And so engage the Spirit. Learn about the Spirit. Open yourselves to the Spirit who is already within you. And so let's land the plane. If you are in a season of life where you are in need of peace and wanting to discern God's calling and sending upon your life, I would encourage you to engage one or more of these five suggestions, these five catalysts, in a form and fashion that connects with you and your spirit. Maybe you could incorporate these suggestions into your life during the 40 days of Lent that we will begin this coming Monday as we journey to the cross and embrace the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are like me, you may want to consider engaging a couple resources that will help you along this journey. And so I want to just suggest a couple books that have been meaningful to me recently. The first is a book simply called Called, and by Dr. Mark Labberton. And I believe that this is a book that years ago, even before Miriam and I came to Kairos, that you guys engaged, that Kairos community engaged collectively. Great book. The second is this, Love Does by Bob Goff. And the reason I suggest this, because it's not directly connected to calling or peace or sending. But if those of you who know Bob Goff are familiar with his writings, he just is a man who is sold out for Jesus, and he's looking for an adventure, and he believes that God has called him to live an intentional life, and he is willing to go quite literally anywhere he perceives that God is leading him. And so a couple good books that might just participate with you in this journey. So I encourage you to grab a cup of coffee, grab your Bible, a journal, and a good book, and let the Lord lead you into deeper waters, into a life of purpose and peace. And so I ask this question. It is the question of the current sermon series. What if? What if we claimed these words of Jesus, we received the Holy Spirit, embraced the peace that Jesus extends to us, and accepted his invitation to be sent? Well, I believe our families, our church, our communities would tap into a power and peace that has the ability to transcend our pain, heal our relationships and communities, and transform the world with the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts and transcends all earthly wisdom. Our responsibility is this: to open our hearts and trust that where God sends us and who God sends us to, God will be there waiting for us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have engaged this passage, we pray that it would encourage us. And so, Lord, wherever we are in need of peace, Lord, we pray that we would seek your Spirit to offer that peace to us. And that would we choose peace over any type of counterfeit or substitute that leaves us wanting in the end. Lord, give us courage to face our tomorrows. Lord, would we put our trust in you, and would we believe that you have good things for us wherever you send us. We pray this in Christ's name.